This is a Siva podcast.
Our new exhibition at Siva is the first exhibition at all that is dedicated to the work and to the person of Lode Jansens, a legendary yet widely forgotten Belgian architect who is alive, but in a kind of self-chosen exile, I think, as you once mentioned, Peter. Can you maybe elaborate a little bit on this very enigmatic figure? Because it's a monographic exhibition, clearly, but a very unusual one because very few people have heard about him.
Yeah, indeed, and especially when people think about Belgian architecture, there is a kind of canon, but what one forgets is that next to or underneath this canon, there is maybe an even more interesting layer of architects who practiced the last, let's say, 30, 40, 50 years. And Lode Jansens, in my view, is one of those people. We're pretty sure that so far almost nothing has been published on his work, and that's mainly due to his own persona, because he refused publishing throughout his active career, which was more or less from 64 until as an architect until 92, which is quite astonishing, I think, for an architect refusing to get published. And this refusal has mainly to do with the fact that he had a love-hate relationship with architecture, in the sense that he was, I mean, everything that he did had to do with architecture, but he hated the little architectural world around it. So he decided not to play along, which has its, of course, benefits, but also its backdrops. But apart from that, so yes, we have at Siva a unique exhibition, even publication and documentary on Lode Jansens, which I'm very, very happy with. But it took us almost 2 years, so not to prepare the exhibition, to prepare Lode to get published, for instance.
It's interesting somehow in the context of an architecture exhibition, because I think there's almost something like a double problem of representation here, because a priori, I think that architecture exhibitions per se are a difficult issue in terms of representation. We always tend to show things that represent another reality that is not in the room, unlike, say, artistic practice. And I think the second aspect here is certainly that Lode Jansens himself seems to have always had an issue with that kind of architectural self-representation through magazines, through actually making an architectural ego.
Well, yeah, in a way, of course, it's very double. Also, that is very double because he has an ego. Let's be honest. I mean, I think as an architect, there should be some level of ego present. But what's truly amazing, I think, is his headstrong position. He kept it throughout, and he was very loyal to it. And like I said, I think we were able to find maybe two or three articles, and some of them, I mean, almost haphazard articles. And of course, this has to do with the type of architect, and this, I think, we should emphasize. Lode Jansens, at the same time, was an extremely local architect. So everything that he built maybe was done in a vicinity of maybe maximum 100 kilometers. But at the same time, and maybe that's something we can also talk on later, but he was linked to ILAUD, International Laboratory of Architecture and Urban Design, led by Giancarlo De Carlo, Peter Smitson, etc. So he had these kind of two extremes of an international wish, I think, to be part of a larger practice environment and a reality which was extremely, extremely local. Almost, I mean, one could say he almost never left his hometown. But of course, aware of the world and aware what was happening at that time. And I think what makes him, in my view, really exceptional is that he was willing to experiment and even experiment himself. So what he did with one of his seminal works, The Balloon Home, where he and his family became the object of testing in an experimental environment.
And The Balloon Home is at the center of the exhibition.
Yeah, we chose, I mean, there were two choices possible, whether either show, let's say, the built work and the non-built work of Lode Janssens, which I think in itself could be a very interesting expose, but that's maybe for someone else in the near future. We picked only one project, which is The Balloon Home, which was more or less built around 1973 and imploded in 1982, so a 10-year experiment. So also limited in time, which was his concrete wish, although the end was not how he had imagined the end. I mean, I think focusing on this one project for me is a bit the alpha and omega of who was Lode Janssens. But in a way, also, it could make us, you know, we could make a certain abstraction of the figure of Lode Janssens through this project, because this project is a child of its time. It's a bubble environment, fit for a family of five, somewhere in Flanders near Brussels, on a almost prototypical lot. But where nevertheless he did a 10-year experiment, and he also, scrutinized this experiment. He almost, as a captain on a ship, he had a log book. And in the end, the idea was to publish this log book, but this never happened. So I hope with this exhibition, we in a critical manner, we honor also his efforts.
Maybe it's worth describing a bit this balloon home, because of course it's a large pneumatic structure, mm-hmm. but there are a number of capsule-like elements that were mainly had the function of basically bedrooms.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also historically speaking, you could link it to kind of experiments like Archigram or Copium en Blanc or others of that time, again, with that big exception that he actually lived in the thing for 10 years. And the thing was a dome of 14 meters diameter, which was the biggest he could put on the plot. I mean, the 14 meter came from that delimitation, covered with two tents on each orientation, just to protect also from rain, mainly, and from wind. And then outside, there were three children's units, which at first were seen as mobile units. This never happened. I mean, and you will see also that what he actually built, not that it was a compromise, but he was very, very practical about things. So he dreamt of mobile children units. They didn't have enough money. Also, technologically speaking, he wasn't up to scratch. So he settled for fixed units. And the same thing also inside the dome, what he called the Moonlander. There is this kind of also mobile unit for the parents. And that's it. So it was about living in nature, although it was a pseudo-residential plot. But he managed to let nature do its own course and temporarily using this plot. So again, for 10 years in a very, in his words, low-key manner, with the idea that after 10 years, you know, you demolish everything and as if nothing had actually happened on that site besides nature.
And then Snow did the job.
Well,
to bring that to a collapse.
Yeah, so so his idea was to only have an experiment for 10 years, but this was also linked to the fact that he couldn't get a building permit for the project, which in a way, in retrospect, I think it's a logical thing. Luckily, he didn't get a building permit, because otherwise it would have made it the thing into a typical home with a slight experimental character to it. So he got this exemption to experiment for 10 years, which in my understanding since then never happened before in Belgian law, but maybe it's something we should pick up again.
For sure.
Yeah, and that's actually the main reason why I think this project could be so interesting. Not because it's experimental or it looks a bit tech, but that it's a temporary use. And his idea was in the summer of 82 to cut up the balloon himself because the experiment was finished. But then in the winter of 82, so February 82, snow get ahead of him. And one winter night, the system, because he had a system, anti-snow system, failed. So he woke up one morning and the balloon was completely, it was hardly any balloon left. And he panicked, started to kick with the broom onto the PVC bubble. And of course, the whole thing cracked. So no home in the midst of winter, all of a sudden.
But eventually he actually continued with that structure, with the remaining structure, not a pneumatic structure, but with these wooden elements. So there were still some years to come with a totally different building, actually.
Yeah. Well, I think the also another interesting aspect is that, so as of 73, 74, almost immediately they started to refurbish the thing and in a kind of DIY way, add things from the inside of the balloon. So by 76, 77, they made a kind of winter house inside the balloon, which was to protect them from the cold, because I mean, it could get bloody cold in this thing. And based on that, the idea started to arise that what if in 82 we would cut it up, but by then there would be a kind of newborn home that actually could go beyond the balloon footprint. And so in 82 they had already a part done, but not enough to have a full house. So in a couple of months they had to improvise a new house, which was done mainly in plywood without foundations. And again, a house not to as a temporary structure, which they inhabited then until 2000. And then it was sold off and demolished by somebody else.
I think it's interesting maybe to talk about the exhibition as such, because there's always a question, well, how do you present such a structure, experimental structure, into an exhibition? And the choice was actually to go for a very large model, which is, I think it's in the scale 1 to 4, which is a very unusual scale. It's somewhere in between 1 to 1 and 1 to 10. And so I think it produces a very strange effect where it's not quite clear whether this is a model or not.
Yeah. So the exhibition has, of course, different parts to it. But I would dare to say that the pivotal piece in this case will be this 1 to 4 scale model, which you are right. I mean, it's not clear what it is, but that I think it's interesting, or I hope it's not completely clear what it is. Lode himself experiment, or before doing the project, so early 70s, he experimented with a 1 to 10 model, of which we have a beautiful model in the exhibition with Lode as a normal human being in a 1 to 10 scale model. And then indeed we started to think, you know, because you're right, the architectural exhibitions often are deeply problematic. It's extremely difficult to put something crucial or a new insight on the table. Let's see here if it works out, but I do think we've hit some kind of interesting direction. And the 1 to 4 scale, I mean, a bit like Lode Janssen's 14 meter diameter came from the scale of the size, the available plot size. Here we just took SIVA space as our plot size, and then the height available, because there are two big masts also holding up the tents. and then you arrive without thinking to a scale 1 to 4. So that we took as a kind of not an objet trouvé, but a data trouvé. And we worked based on that. And I must say that, yeah, the scale is puzzling, but also because we foresaw some kind of, so we didn't reproduce the context, because that would mean that we had to reproduce nature, which was always tricky and rather silly. So, but we reproduced, let's say, the extra footprints around the balloon, which means that the audience can actually see it, but cannot completely, let's say, touch it or be completely near to it. So there is this, you know, I think, interesting, you know, you're there, but at the same time, you're looking at something, and there is enough detail available in the model to understand the setup. And at the same time, we try to be as abstract as possible. And but also that for us, I think it's an experiment in itself. Yeah. So let's see whether it's the audience think it's a failure or something that worked out. But that's, I think, to honor Lode Janssens. Frankly, I think that's the only way we could put this up for debate.
In the logic of an experiment. And it's surrounded, of course, that experiment of the big 1 to 4 model by archival material. You have looked through all the documents, planning material of that pneumatic structure. And so there's a lot of original material being shown, very much showing also the process of the making.
Yeah, what's nice is that, so like I said, A, it took us enormous amount of time to get, let's say, the okay by the family and Lode to even have a first look into the archive. Once that was established, we got the archive. The archive is not that big. It's actually rather small, but extremely complete. And what's also very nice is that Lode kept all the technical information linked to the balloon, his preparation, where he was, we saw very precisely that he, like I said, he was aware of what was happening technologically wise or spatially or experimentally at that time. And I almost say it as it's not a joke, but if we would put all this technical data, this technical information next to each other, you would understand how the balloon was conceived. So because in a way, it's almost a collage of all these things. And that, of course, then it got a kind of Lode treatment, but he was extremely well prepared. I mean, it's frighteningly well prepared for his experiment. And so we show original material from the archive, again, never shown before. So that's a unicum. Also there is a very beautiful and quite extensive archive of slides. So we show more or less 1,000 slides of and the preparation phase, the building phase, the living phase, and the post bubble phase, so the second home, that I think is also for an audience quite nice. This will be done in an installation by Marek Kotz with 6 projectors. I mean, they will see 6 projectors at the same time. So that's a kind of immersive environment where you are, although slides are a very 2D material, I think the outcome, or I hope that the public will see the outcome as something very three-dimensional. And we also have found through other archives very interesting photographic material, which we're blowing up for the exhibition. Not to give you the intention that you are inside the balloon, but still to have this also doubting scale to it.
Plus also footage, documentary footage, interview with Lode.
We, like I said, so there aren't too many archives that have work by Lode Janssens, hardly any. But one archive, normally, because it's not our kind of first attempt to to unveil an unknown architect. And one archive that often has something available is the radio and television archives from Belgium. And there also it took us 3-4 turns to actually find something because it was unlabeled. So it was lying somewhere. I mean, it's the romantic story, but it was lying somewhere really at the back of the back of the back of the archive. And we found 3 excerpts, which I think are extremely valuable. And they are now digitalized also for the exhibition, so they are saved. And I think it allows also the audience to understand kind of daily life in the balloon. There are also very intriguing night shots and atmospheric shots. And of course, Lode, who is now 80 years, and like you said in the beginning, not willing to talk publicly. So, but at least we have his statements of, this is, let's say, 1976, 1977. There are a couple of statements by him, and there the audience will see that he's a very powerful character and a very intelligent character.
What's really exciting to me is, in a way, that character of an exhibition which puts a model in the center, but about a building, or referring to a building which in itself was very much a model, for over 10 years, where a family and also the architect as a figure were also a kind of model-like figures. Yeah, so I think, to me, this all comes down to a huge experimentation on what a model actually is. Because I think what's really fascinating to me was always this feeling that a model, in a way, has this double character. On one hand, certainly an abstraction of a different world, partly, but on the other hand, it always in architecture has the potential to be inhabited. And I think this, to me, in this exhibition, really exciting, where it seems as if these two aspects really come together.
Yeah, and there one has to bear in mind, I mean, one of the reasons Lode has kind of a hateful reaction to publicity also has to do with this inhabiting his model. So for 10 years, and this I think that he completely underestimated, in 10 years' time, I think they got something like 3,000 people in or around the balloon, often unannounced. It's kind of buses stopping and then architects or student architects just flocking in. And this really, he felt it as an attack on his privacy. Because one of his main concerns was to try to live together in a kind of microcosmos with his family, but also with the people inhabiting the houses around it. And this was each time attacked in his view. So again, I think the main reason why he, also the last 20 years, he went into a kind of self-inflicted exile, has to do with that. So he felt it as like a monkey in a cage, whereas again he only wanted to experiment, be left alone in some, and that he could decide the rhythm also of the experiment, unless somebody was invited. But this was a minority of the people, so the majority actually came unannounced. And it also makes us think maybe on, although this was pre-internet, so I don't know how the address was actually known or kind of word-to-mouth communication, but still, I think that's also quite intriguing. You know? So the right to experiment privately, and then after the experiment, he would go public. That was his intention, but he never was allowed to privately experiment.
I think that's maybe also the exciting part of this exhibition, where because it's obvious that we treat very sensitive personal material. Yeah. On the other hand, it's a public exhibition.
You've been listening to a SIVA podcast.